From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he proceeds with this series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns continues to deal with the theme of universal guilt and total depravity, which the Apostle Paul set forth in chapter 3. In verses 9 through 20 of the chapter, Paul shows that both Jews and Gentiles are equally guilty before God. Quoting from Psalm 14, Paul declares, "There is none righteous, no, not one." For Jew and Gentile, the problem is the same. All are under the control of sin. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns is stressing the seriousness of sin. The history of mankind is a record of the destructiveness of sin. It destroys man's nature, mind, and will. Indeed, sin is destructive of the very purpose of man's existence. The hopelessness of this bleak picture cannot be overstated. Yet, God, in His mercy, has provided the answer. It is found in the death and resurrection of His blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. Before he comes, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook by C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Mountains Turned to Plains. The text is found in Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 7. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. At this hour a mountain of difficulty, distress, or necessity may be in our way, and natural reason sees no path over it, or through it, or round it. Let faith come in, and straightway the mountain disappears and becomes a plain. But faith must first hear the word of the Lord, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. This grand truth is a prime necessity for meeting the insurmountable trials of life. I see that I can do nothing, and all reliance on man is vanity, not by might. I see that no visible means can be relied on, but the force is in the invisible Spirit. God alone must work, and men and means must be nothing accounted of. If it be so that the Almighty God takes up the concerns of His people, then great mountains are nothing. He can remove worlds as boys toss balls about or drive them with their foot. This power He can lend to me. If the Lord bids me move an Alp, I can do it through His name. It may be a great mountain, but even before my feebleness it shall become a plain. For the Lord hath said it. What can I be afraid of with God on my side?
In my sight.
From time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
sinned in Adam and fell with Adam in his first transgression. As our catechism puts it. So that this guilt within us that we all feel, this guilt that haunts our consciences, disturbs our peace of mind, condemns our hearts, and gives us fear at the thought of death and meeting God in judgment, this guilt is not a psychological weakness. It is not some complex created by cultural conditioning or religious training. Sin and guilt are not just some breaches of the social norm. They are not excusable. Sin is rebellion against God, and the consequent guilt is that within our own hearts that says, you are subject to the righteous judgment of a holy God, and justly so. Sin is serious, and guilt is universal. It's only a fool who tries to talk himself out of that gnawing sense of accountability to God and that awful, fearful realization, I am justly under sin and therefore under wrath. We have every reason to think that when you realize what Paul wrote in the details here, the details which will show us the third part of his great proposition, that depravity is total. Sin affects the whole man, both his nature and his actions. If you look at verses 10 and 11, you'll see that they stand off in some clear distinction from verses 12 through 17. 10 and 11 tell us what we are. Verses 12 to 17 tell us what we do. Now they're clearly related as cause and effect. Sin inheres in both. I don't want to take time to repeat what I've done in former studies. One of the great weaknesses that has come into our pulpits has been a weakening of the biblical doctrine of sin. You can't preach the gospel right unless you understand the biblical doctrine of sin. Men have tried to tell their congregations that sin is only a matter of our choices. I've even heard preachers go so far as to say that God never condemned anybody for Adam's sin. I don't know where they get that in the Bible. They certainly didn't get it in the book of Romans. The idea seems to be that sin is only in isolated acts or thoughts. But when Paul here deals with total depravity, he starts with what we are. There is none righteous. When you read the next verse in the English version, you would think that it is speaking of an act of understanding. There is none that understandeth. The translation is good in English, but the force there is rather there is not an understanding one. It's now talking about that change of mind. I was describing Adam's mind before the fall a moment ago. Now there's a total reversal of that. There is not an understanding one. There is not a seeking one. This is telling us what we are. And the result of that is we are fallen in verse 10 and 11. Now we are filthy in verse 12 through 17. For now we come to what we do. We have gone out of the way. We have become unprofitable. We don't do good. Our throat is an open sepulchre. Our tongues use deceit. The poison of asps and under our lips, and our mouths full of cursing with our feet running to shed blood in the ways of destruction and misery. And the result of it all in verse 18 is utter godlessness, where we are fearless toward God. Now here you have the three elements in depravity. The fallen nature. The filthy acts. And then this fearless attitude to God. Have a look at those three things. I'm not going to take time to preach on them. That's a sermon all in itself. But you look at those three things, and you can look across America, and those three things, the fallen nature, the filthy acts, the fearless flying in the face of God, they are the three things that most outstandingly stamp American life today, and not only American life. This is total depravity. This sin, of course, is a mighty destructive force. Let me quickly run through these verses to show you what it destroys. Verse 10, it destroys our nature. I said Adam was created righteous. It destroys that nature. Verse 11, it destroys both mind and will. Verse 12, it destroys our fellowship with God. They are all gone out of the way. Now follow that very carefully. They have gone deliberately out of the way. This is not an accidental erring. This is not describing people who accidentally get lost. When it says they went out of the way, they are gone out of the way, it means they have deliberately avoided the way. If you want to get the force of the Greek term used here, you should read 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 11, where the instruction to the child of God is, let him eschew evil. Let him avoid evil. Let him hate evil. Let him, in his hatred of evil, turn aside from that evil. That's the force of the word eschew. And that's the very word that here is employed. When they have gone out of the way, they have eschewed that way, deliberately avoided it because they hated it. Sin destroys our fellowship with God. The end of verse 12, it destroys our true purpose in life. For you'll see what it says, or should I say, in the middle of that verse, they are together become unprofitable, worthless, worthless. You know, man was created as the very crown of God's creation. We have been led astray by foolish exegesis to think that angels were created as the crown of God's creation. No, sir, they weren't. Just read your Bible. God created angels to be ministering spirits to minister to us. They're our servants. And without getting into the details of the argument again, I believe, this is not original to me. Reggie Kimbrough first introduced me to this idea from the great Baptist preacher in London, John Wilmot. Satan's sin was not that he aspired to take the place of God, as we have so often been told. Satan's sin was that he aspired to take the place of man. This is the crown of God's creation. What a worth there is in human life. What a profit there is in human life, so long as that life is lived in fellowship with its Maker. But sin destroys that. They become worthless. That's an awful word to use of immortal souls. This is something that always boggles my mind. I've confessed before, I love great biography. I wish I could write a great biography. I admire the skill. I spend a long time reading it, more than just to learn about the person, but just to admire the skill of the biographer. I love great biography. Sometimes the biographer's skill is so great, I can hardly finish the book. I was reading a biography of Napoleon Bonaparte. I got so mad at the absolute selfish, stupid, blind craziness of the character. I have enough of that. I have no more time to waste. And I suppose I should have finished it, but I look at others that I admire. Men who stand towering over human history. I read of Churchill, and I tremble when I think of him standing before God. I've read of Lincoln, and just to keep the Southerners happy, of Jefferson Davis as well. And I tremble to think of them standing before God. I am not the judge of these men. When all the arguments of the world have ceased, and the judgments of men have come and gone, the abiding judgment of God, worthless. Worthless. I don't misunderstand me. God can use evil men in furthering the cause of His purpose, and He does. And He will do His will through the politicians and the military men and all the rest of it. But when they come to stand before God, worthless, it's the final judgment. I want you to stop and think tonight, for you're going to stand before God, and so am I. God is going to have you before Him, and in your mind and heart will be every blessing and every advantage that grace has given you. If you are not a born-again, justified believer in Jesus Christ, ultimately you will find how true this is. Sin has destroyed your very purpose for being. The end of verse 12, it destroys our works. There is no godly action. Verses 13 and 14, it destroys and corrupts our speech and communication. Now there's a big subject I daren't get into tonight. Speech and communication. The gift of speech. That gift that God has given to communicate, not only in a primeval way, but deep thoughts of philosophy, of theology, of motivation and of purpose, of love and of hate. And most of all, of God and His Christ. Speech and communication given to us primarily that we may commune with our God. And secondly, that we may commune of Him with each other. What has mankind done with that gift? You ever listen to the normal half hour of radio? Or worse still, watch the normal half hour of what passes for soapbox entertainment or soap whatever it is entertainment. Sin has destroyed it and corrupted it.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.